All right, Crypt Nation fam, let's pause for 1 second and talk about an important issue going on right now, and that's SIM swap attacks. SIM swap attacks are becoming a serious threat, especially in crypto. If someone gets control of your phone number, they can access your bank accounts, your exchanges, emails, and even your private messages. That's why the Crypto 101 podcast is partnered with Afani. It's America's most secure mobile service, offering a guaranteed protection against SIM swaps with added privacy. Since launching, not one single Afani user has ever been SIM swapped. And for some reason, if it ever does happen, you're backed by up to $5 million in insurance against financial losses. This is literally why we chose to partner with them. It is our favorite thing about Afani is the insurance policy of up to $5 million if it does happen to you. Afani runs on either AT&T or the Verizon network, and you get to choose which one. There are no contracts, and it is super easy and seamless to sign up. You also get a 60-day money-back guarantee, so there's zero risk in trying it out. Right now, for our listeners, you get $99 off when you sign up at Afani.com/crypto101. That's Afani.com/crypto101, or check the show notes below for a link. These days, your phone number is probably more valuable than your social security number, so make sure it's protected with Afani. Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? And credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With Gemini Credit Card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight into your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, or you're a faithful listener of the Crypto 101 podcast and love Bitcoin and other cryptos, visit the Gemini credit card website so it's easy for you to earn even more Bitcoin or crypto with their credit card. Again, visit Gemini.com/card today to learn more.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the Crypto Rundown, where we talk about everything that's happening in the great crypto and blockchain markets. From the technicals on the charts to the fundamentals in the news, we spend the time doing hours of research so that you all don't have to. And of course, we bring it to you all completely for free. So if you're brand new here and this is your first time, welcome. Make sure you check us out over on YouTube. We're going to have lots of visuals that you can watch, lots of charts that you can see, lots of articles as well. And the only way to view that is on our YouTube channel. So if you're coming in from Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Audible, anywhere else, check us out on YouTube. We do these market updates and these rundowns multiple times a week. We also have all sorts of crypto tutorials, podcasts, episodes, special guests, you name it. We're here to make sure that you all stay informed on everything happening in the crypto market. And we've got a really great rundown in store for all of you today because we have on several other members of the analyst team. It's going to be a special episode. We're going to talk about just the overall state of the crypto market. Where are we in this market cycle? How much further can we have to go? Are we in this full-fledged altcoin season? And what altcoin should we be paying attention to? And we want to dive into some of these narratives. So normally on the show, we talk just about the news and some of the charts. We're also going to be talking about what's happening in more of like the meme coin side of things and the meme market and some of these more momentum plays. So we brought in one of our specialists who focuses on that. And we brought in another one of our analysts who is just heavily doven into the fundamental side of things as well. So we have a lot of different articles that we want to break down. We have a lot of things in store for all of you. And we say this ahead of time just so that you all can understand and expect what's to come here, because it's going to be a little bit of a longer episode because there's so much to go through. But I promise you, it's going to be action-packed. And I want everyone to make sure that you turn those phones on silent. You buckle up for this episode because it's going to be a big one. So real quick, before we begin, we're going to be talking about a lot of really sensitive data. And so I want to go through a quick series of disclaimers and disclosures before we get into that and before we introduce the team. So bear with me, everyone. Before we begin here, nothing that we say is financial or investment advice. We're not financial or investment advisors over here, and all the content is strictly educational in nature. Now, it should go without saying, but we have exposure to a bunch of different crypto assets, and potentially even the ones that we're going to be talking about during this live session that we got going on right now. All the opinions here are strictly our own. They are not representations of any company. And the crypto market is extremely risky and volatile, which is why you should never be trying to trade or invest or risk more than you can afford to lose. And finally, be aware of scammers and impersonators. We're never going to be DMing you about investment opportunities, and we're never going to be trying to send you to any kind of third-party messaging app like Discord or WhatsApp or Telegram or anything like that. So stay safe, stay aware, and buckle up, everyone, because it's going to be a big one. But TiVo is our leading super producer over here. TiVo, go ahead and kick us off because we got just a ton to talk about.
Yeah, a ton to talk about and a ton of people are here. Good afternoon, everybody. If it's your first time hearing my voice and seeing my face, if you're from inside the community, greetings. My name's TiVo. I'm the producer, so I handle all the media around the podcast, the YouTube, and some stuff in the community. Like if you guys attended the crypto community summit and the hedge fund summit that we put on this week, you know, that's all my kind of behind the scenes work. And that's why, sadly, Bryce isn't joining us today. He was there all 3 days, which I'm sure some of you were as well. That was a great event. But I kind of bring, if people that listen to the podcast obviously know who I am by now. But if you're new, basically what I do is I'm always combing through X. I'm combing through the news. I'm combing through the business television shows. And I kind of put the show together that you guys are going to watch today called the Crypto Rundown, and we do it every week, and it's basically just going to give you all the high level breaking news, all the great stuff that you need to know, and it's a great add-on to the awesome and deep diving information that Brendan gives you with technical analysis and the charts, Rohit gives you with his research every week with the newsletter, and the team as they all pile in and create, you know, the coins of the week and the stuff that you read about each week. And then obviously Brian and Joe are our crypto Navy SEALs, aka the momentum money makers. That's our full team here, and this is kind of a special episode where we're really bringing everybody together. You have the YouTube community, the podcast community, and now the Crypt Nation community kind of all converging onto YouTube. So it should be exciting. But we've got a couple great guests here. We got Brian and Rohit. Brian, what's going on, brother?
What's up, everyone? Happy to be here. Fired up. We're going to talk about meme coins. We're going to talk about NFTs. We're going to have a good time today.
And Rohit, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. Yeah. I'm looking forward to talking about market cycles, where we are in the cycle right now.
Yeah, I think I saw Mrs. C. Lee ask already for a question about market cycles. So it's coming up. It's coming up at the end of the show. We got a lot of people in the chat. Optimus, we've got D. Jakes. We've got David, along with some of our faithful people that are here each week. Those were some new names that I saw. So if anybody's new, before we jump right in, on the bottom right of your screen, you're going to see our Crypto 101 podcast logo. If you don't mind hitting that, that's going to help you subscribe. It's going to support the channel to help you keep bringing these free shows. And then if you haven't yet, give the video a like, and we're going to jump right into it. So I think the way we wanted to start off the show is I think that we can all agree from our team, and just if you look at any chart, like we're in a bull market. It's been an awesome couple months. It's been a great, you know, year plus, especially the new year here. Obviously, there's always going to be volatility, but we're in a bull market, guys. And I think the last 24 hours, the biggest thing that I've seen is a lot of political jargon, but it's all geared towards the momentum of the crypto markets. We really don't try to get too political on the show, but when you are the most powerful country in the world and every powerful person in this administration of the most powerful country in the world seems to be talking about crypto, it's something that you should take note. So we're going to run through a couple clips here, a couple tweets, and then we're going to have the team kind of bounce around a discussion of where we are in the bull market and how we feel this is a little bit different with the momentum from the administration. So that's clearly the president of the United States kind of always has been giving his thumbs up to crypto. And then yesterday you had Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent. So he was on TV and he actually said the quote that we're not looking to buy any Bitcoin. And then the Twitter sphere got a hold of him and kind of made some noise. And then he put out this tweet later in the day where the Treasury is committed to exploring budget neutral pathways to acquire more Bitcoin. Brendan, I'm going to toss this to you first because we literally talked about this a couple days ago on our other rundown episode where we were wondering, you know, what's the plan? Are they still working on it? We haven't heard them talk about it for a while. And I think that was the initial pop of the sentiment was so negative when that TV clip him came out saying they're not doing anything. And then sure enough, you know, 4 hours later, he has to tweet this out as a retraction because the crypto part of the administration came knocking on his office.
Yeah, you know, I think there's two sides to this. There's this story where they came out and a lot of people had been hoping for this. They have this expectation of if we're going to be the crypto capital of the world, which is what they keep saying and flaunting, they're pushing this narrative that we are going to be by far the most crypto-friendly crypto capital of the world. How can we say that and then say we're not going to actually accumulate these assets, all right? We have no accumulation plan. It seems a bit hypocritical. And so people were getting a little bit frustrated and they were kind of barking at him a little bit, saying, hey, like, let's accumulate these things. Let's put our money where our mouth is. And so that came out in the interview. And I think they realized that. And they're like, you all are right. And people aren't asking for any kind of crazy thing. You know, they're not saying we need to buy $1 trillion worth of Bitcoin a year or anything absurd. But they're just saying, hey, give us something that we can kind of look forward to and something that shows that, you know, we really do want to get serious about crypto. And there's been a ton, and I mean an absolute ton of work that has kind of gone towards the crypto industry, lots of great adoption. And so people were looking at this, they barked, and crypto kind of showed like, hey, we have some sway now, we have some power now. And another example of that, TiVo, was we saw that happen with Google earlier this week, just about 2 days ago, where Google was talking about removing some crypto wallets and apps off the App Store. They got a ton of backlash instantly. And they said, okay, like, whoa, like we didn't know it had this much attention and power behind it. And they saw how many people were upset about it. And they said, hey, you know, we won't do it. We'll ease off of this thing. And so I think what we can tell from both of these situations is that the, you know, call it the crypto army, the crypto community, whatever you want to say, you know, the investors behind crypto now are growing in size, but also like growing in power to like where we kind of have somewhat of a say behind this. And I think it also helps that the administration, the current administration, they do seem to genuinely care about the crypto market, at least through the actions and stuff that we've seen here in recent months. It's been really crypto friendly, you know, arguably, not even arguably, I'd say it's by far the most crypto friendly adoption and regulation that we have seen in any presidency. So it's good to see that our voices are heard. And I think that's something that a lot of crypto investors and crypto traders felt like they missed in previous years, is they didn't feel heard. And now all of a sudden, you know, they say something, the crypto industry responds. They say, hey, thanks for your input on this. Let's come to a happy medium where we can kind of both win and have this win-win situation. So
Lowe's knows you've got a job to do, and we help get it done. With the MyLowe's Pro Rewards program, eligible members save more. With volume discounts on qualifying orders through a quote of $2,000 or more. Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Offer can't be combined with any other discount, contract, and or special pricing. Exclusions, more terms, and restrictions apply. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Yeah, the past with Gary Gensler, and, you know, we've had a lot of fun on the show with last year. It was, you know, the fire Gary Gensler clips and all that. Now the SEC is pro-crypto, right? So the next thing, or the final thing, you know, politically was, you know, if we share this, is SEC Chair Paul Atkins. This is literally this morning, people, where Paul Atkins is saying, hey, you know, it's a longer quote of a TV hit that he did, but it's, we're mobilizing to make America the crypto capital of the world. So, you know, compare that to where we were a year, two, 3 years ago with Gary Gensler. It's literally night and day. So, Rohit, from your research and kind of diving into your expertise, you know, how have you seen the administration, you know, loosening up, and really not even loosening is not the right word, it's really guiding the crypto legislation into the future? You know, is this the positive stuff that you're seeing in your research as well?
Yeah, there's been so much between like the stablecoin legislation, especially with that, because after Bitcoin, probably stablecoins are the strongest product market fit for crypto. And that could potentially like replace much of the back end for the financial system, certainly for transfers of any kind. But yeah, not just that, even it sounds like more specific guidance by the SEC, CFTC, is like it's all coming. And it is, like you said, it is a 9-day contrast with the previous administration, which just did everything possible to kind of scuffle industry, basically. Like, it didn't put out clear guidelines, it was like regulation through prosecution. So it is a 9-day difference. Yeah.
Yeah. And then Brian, anything to add on the discussion?
Yeah, I think the Scott Bessent news is interesting because it's almost a nothing burger in my eyes. We've known that for a while. That's been mentioned quite a bit in the past. But what we do know is that the United States is the current administration is taking steps to be so pro-crypto, it's outstanding. So I'm a perma bull in this market.
I think a good, like you said it really well, Brian. It's a bit of a nothing burger in the sense that this isn't anything that we didn't already know. And people have, I don't know if greedy is the right word. People have become, they've started asking for a little bit much and people haven't been satisfied, I think, that with what we've seen so far. And I think that this is such a big milestone that people should be, at least in some sense, pretty satisfied with all the progress that we've made and all the progress that we've seen so far. And people have kind of developed this mindset of like, well, we want all of our crypto to be tax-free. And it's like, well, they never said they were going to do that. Well, we want a steady accumulation of Bitcoin. Well, again, they never said that they were going to do that. We want this and that. And there's kind of just been some unrealistic expectations of like, the government should do this. We're expecting them to do this. But it's nothing that they've ever even like really talked about too much. There's been some discussion, I guess, around the idea of budget neutral ways to accumulate Bitcoin, but you really haven't seen anything too formal come out and say, we're going to do this or that. And people are kind of running with these more lofty ideas. And then they get upset when they don't come through. And it's like, well, they never really told us that we were getting those in the first place. And so I think people just, in some sense, do need to be appreciative of all the progress that we've seen so far and all the stuff that's still going on. And also just understand, I mean, guys, we're 8 months into this thing. You know, there's another almost 3.5 years to go. There's a lot more that can and probably will be done. And I know everyone just wants instant gratification. And that's what we're seeing a little bit right now. They want prices to be instantly up, which we have kind of seen. And we'll talk about that here in just a second. But they also want everything to happen in the first year. And that's just not realistic.
Yeah, there's been so much great progress, and I think that's kind of a great segue into our next segment, which is going to be Brendan doing some technical analysis on the charts for us. But, you know, you can show us the price action, all that stuff going way back, and I'm sure members, people that listen to the podcast, and then especially the members of Crypt Nation that have, you know, been riding along for a year, 2-3 years plus, have seen the benefits of what it takes to, you know, again, I've actually see it in the chat now, Mrs. C. Lee saying, learn patience. It's not going to happen overnight. And we've got some new people. We've got Robert, we've got John. So I know that our community is really, really strong and we see it inside of the community so much. And that's why I think it's cool to kind of what we're doing today is converging them together. But again, just one quick ask. If you guys are new here, on the bottom right of the screen, you'll see our logo. Give it a click, give us a subscribe, like the video as we just continue along. And like Brendan said, there's no instant gratification, but what do we say all the time, Brendan, right? Zoom out and check out these charts. So why don't you take it over?
Certainly. Yeah. I mean, like Tivo said, we do these every single week. So if you want to tune in, hit the subscribe button, join us. We have a bunch of these crypto rundowns and different market updates and stuff. So we definitely want all of you to tune into those as well. But let's take a look here over on Bitcoin first. We always like to start high level. Like Tivo said, zoom out, get the big picture first, and then we zoom in from there and we focus in on a couple of different areas, altcoins and niches. But what we have here with Bitcoin is that we just saw a brand new all-time high. And this is something that, you know, we talked about internally and in some other places, but one of the big takeaways here is that Bitcoin hit a new all-time high and Ethereum tapped its all-time high area. And the reason that we bring this up is because a lot of the major cryptos were at what we call all-time high resistance, right? So when you have a technical level, like on the charts here, the all-time high resistance level, especially when we've tapped it before, rejected it, fell down, came back up, and we're retesting that previous high where we had rejected in the past. And we saw this on Bitcoin, we saw this on Ethereum, and we've also seen this on what we call the Total 2 and Total 3 charts. Now, the Total 2 chart is just saying, hey, if we add together the entire market cap of crypto, excluding Bitcoin, that's the Total 2. The Total 3 is the exact same thing. It's the entire market cap of crypto, except excluding Bitcoin and Ethereum. So when we look at like these leading charts or these leading groups, those are the big dogs that we look at. Those are the market leaders. And Bitcoin over here, again, like I said, tapping that all-time high resistance level, we know that it's resistance. Over here, we saw a rejection of Bitcoin where it fell about 10% or almost $12,000 to the downside in just about 3 weeks' time. You go over to Ethereum over in here, it's the same thing. We had tapped this 3,800 level all the way back in November of 2021, and we saw a big rejection up here in the past. So when we have Bitcoin and Ethereum pushing up in the all-time high into their all-time high resistance levels, and we start to see a rejection, is that a bad thing? Is it anything unexpected? Absolutely not. Like, this is a very historical, technical level, and it's a textbook move to see us respect resistance as resistance. And we see a little bit of a sell-off at it. So when I'm looking at this, I'm not panicking up here. I'm not freaking out. If anything, it should have been expected. And I was talking to one of our groups internally here the other day, which I think some of you in the chat box were probably in there on Monday when we were talking about this. And I was just saying, hey guys, exercise caution up here. If we break through, we're in price discovery mode. There is so much upside that can be had. There's a ton of volatility. However, we're approaching all-time high resistance. Be careful of a pullback before then. And that was one of the big things. And so I'm looking at this. It's not anything unexpected. It's not anything that I'm fearing. And the truth of the matter here is that I think that, hey, as we pull back, we're going to do what we kind of call like a slip, dip, and a rip, where we slip a little bit to the downside, we dip through that slip, and then we rip afterwards. And the realistic price targets for both Bitcoin and Ethereum and a lot of these different altcoins is that we probably pull back to our previous highs, previous consolidation areas, or some of the main moving averages, like the 20-day moving average, which is the blue line, the 50-day moving average, which is the pink line, and maybe even on some of these altcoins, the 200-day moving average, which is the yellow line. But Bitcoin and Ethereum are far away from those, and I don't think those are going to be retested anytime soon. But on Bitcoin over here, you know, we're kind of coming back down into this, and we can already see that, hey, we broke out of the highs on Bitcoin, and we can see this very, very clearly on the weekly chart. As we zoom out over here, this has been the reoccurring trend since 2022, and this has just been, again, nonstop, and I want to paint this picture clearly for everyone that's watching, because we saw over here, hey, Bitcoin struggled up here. It hit the high, rejected, hit the high, rejected on price. But what did we do? Well, we did this thing called a break, hook, and go, where we broke through resistance, retested it as support, and then the go, which is the continuation to the upside. So we are testing our previous highs as our newfound lows and support, and then we continued to the upside. So we saw this happen at the reversal moment. Going up a little bit higher, we consolidated for a little bit here, saw the breakthrough of this resistance, the retest as support right in here, and then more continuation to the upside. What we zoom out, next consolidation range, we see the same thing. We are using this area right around 75K as resistance. We break through it, we retest it as support, we continue to the upside afterwards. Now it's nothing new. You know, here we are a couple years later, still doing the same thing. We are breaking through resistance. And what do you know? We are now consolidating above this area support. So what I would be looking for moving forward on Bitcoin as kind of the market leader is, hey, as we come into this area around the previous all-time highs, around maybe 110, K, we probably start finding some support in there. We have the 20-day moving average at 116K. It's shorter and a little bit weaker. We have the 50-day moving average at 115,000. That's going to be a little bit of a stronger support. And then we have lots of support as we come back down towards 112 and that previous all-time high area on Bitcoin. Now, the same kind of thing goes, and the same lesson goes for things like the Total 2 and the Total 3 charts. We can zoom out on here and see, hey, we approached all-time highs. We tapped it, saw a little bit of rejection on that Total 2 chart that I said. You can go to the Total 3 chart, as I mentioned earlier. Very, very similar story over here on both the Total 2 and, excuse me, the Total 3 as well. So if we pull this up, this is going to show us a very, very similar story where we're coming up to these all-time highs, we're tapping it and seeing some resistance. Ethereum has the same story as we kind of showed already a little bit earlier. We came up, we tapped the all-time high. And now as we're coming back down here, I want to see a retest of some of these previous consolidation ranges, some of the moving averages. Maybe that means we dip a little bit more, but I think any kind of dips that we do get here are going to be presenting just fantastic potential buying opportunities to potentially buy the dip at. So when I'm looking at this, you know, am I going to sell everything off and be scared up here? Absolutely not. You know, on quite the contrary, I'm actually looking at where can I get long? Where can I be buying the dip? because I think it's only a matter of time until we see new all-time highs on both Bitcoin and ETH. And, you know, before I pass it back to the guys, sorry, there's so much to talk about. You know, one of the really interesting things here is, like, people have asked us, you know, is the market cycle done? And there's two data points that I want to just briefly look at. And we always see the Bitcoin dominance go up and down to the same places just about every market cycle. So we see Bitcoin front run the market. It moves ahead of all the altcoins. Bitcoin dominance rises to around 70%, and then it falls down to around 40%. And that's when altcoin season happens. We saw this happen in 2017. We saw this happen in 2021 before it fell. And this is where we're at right now. Bitcoin dominance is just at around 60%. It is nowhere near 40%. We topped out at around, I think it was 66, 67%, so just below the norm. But I think that's mainly because of how much the altcoin industry has matured. And so this would say, hey, there's probably more room to go and more time to run in the market. The other thing I'd use to measure this is I'd go over to a Bitcoin chart, I would pull up a monthly chart, and I would go to the monthly RSI. And what we can do on here is, you know, even if you're brand new to charting, you can look at this and say, well, you know, where does the crypto market typically top out at? And where and when does it typically bottom out at? Now, again, you don't have to be any kind of a technical guru to look at this chart and say, well, you know, going all the way back to 2011, or 2011, we can see that, well, we top out up here and we bottom out down here. And when we top out and bottom out and top out and bottom out and top out and bottom out, and it's in this exact same spot every single time, right? We bottom out at around 40 on the monthly RSI. We top out at around 90, and it's nothing too crazy. And so if we're looking at this chart and we're saying, well, is the market cycle done? This would say no. You know, we have not come. And who knows? Maybe this is the one time that it fails. But since Bitcoin's inception, this has always worked and it has always been proven true. It doesn't mean it's guaranteed this time, but as someone who has used this time and time again, cycle after cycle, I'm looking at this and the data is just saying the market top isn't in. And I know people are going to say, well, you know, Brendan, what about a year and a half after the halving? We're still not even at that point yet. And we're not quite there. We're starting to get a little bit closer. But, you know, altcoins are firing. Bitcoin dominance would say that there's more room to run. And a lot of these altcoins are still, you know, really pushing. And we're seeing a lot of upside from them. You know, you look at Aerodrome, which has been running here just nonstop, hitting a new high this morning. I know in recent, you know, months, we've looked at things like Pengu, which Brian and Joe have put on our radar and talked a lot about. This thing shooting up over 1,000%, hitting new highs. Euler is one that Rohit put me on, which has been running, you know, hundreds and hundreds of percent since the start of this year. And a lot of altcoins are extremely high. In fact, I would say most are, which is why we see like the Total 2 and the Total 3 and a lot of these other altcoin charts at all-time highs, is because they are getting so much love and attention. And, you know, final point, I keep adding on. Sorry, guys, I'm cheating. Final point here is, like, a lot of large caps are at all-time highs too. XRP hit a new all-time high. BNB, which is on here somewhere, this thing hit a new all-time high. You can go over to Tron. This thing hit a new all-time high. Had a little bit of a crazy wick, but this cycle, this thing's hit a new all-time high. Like, a lot of these different altcoins are just all-time highs galore left and right. So I say all this because there's a lot of stuff to pay attention to. There's a lot of stuff to look at in the charts and, yeah, if you can't tell, I'm a little excited about it all because I think that there's still a lot of good to look forward to.
Absolutely, man. You crushed it. Thank you for sharing all that. I learn something new every time. I really like the RSI, kind of that zoom out of RSI was fascinating, and that was an awesome segment. And just for everybody listening, again, we appreciate you. We do this all for free. But if that segment with Brendan was something that you really enjoyed and really thought interesting, especially around the technical analysis and charting, if you scroll down in the description of our YouTube video, we just have a couple links there if you're interested in getting more involved in the community. And I have a link there. It's 1, 2, 3, 4. It's the fourth link down there. Is the master the charts in just 6 weeks. And it's something that you can do with Brendan. It's his trading course, and you get access to Brendan plus coaching calls and all that. So if you're more interested in learning how to do technical analysis like Brendan can, check out that link below as we move on. But Rohit, I want to bring it to you.
He kind of ended on that total too, and market caps and altcoins are popping off, and you obviously gave a great call with Euler. You know, are you an altcoin season believer? Because let me show you this, Rohit. Coinbase Institutional, we all know Coinbase. Coinbase Institutional is literally calling for alt season. September approaches, the transition to a full-scale alt season is likely. Now, they didn't quite put the disclaimer there, but I'm sure their lawyer would like them to say that's not personal financial advice for anybody. But they're not the only one. We got CME Group. The catchphrase altcoin season is gaining significant traction. So, you know, I know Brian specifically, we're going to come to you next. You live in the trenches. You live in the altcoin meme coin markets. But Rohit, from your research, is the altcoin season, are the bubbles coming? Can you feel the momentum for an altcoin season?
For sure. I think we'll get into it more when I do the part on cycles. But for me, like, altcoin season technically starts when ETH is the strongest token. And I think we're actually there. Like, it's already started to happen. We haven't hit new all-time highs yet, but I think we got within, I think, 4%. And it's, I think it's going to happen within weeks, I would say. So yeah, I think technically we are in altcoin season. And like I said, I'll go into more detail on that later. There's like a specific, like in the past, say 2 to 3 cycles, there's been like a specific sequence of events. But I would say we're in altcoin season.
I like that. I mean, as a producer, you have to love one of your hosts teasing a segment coming up later and sticking to the script. Brian, what are you seeing in the meme coin market? I know we've had a couple meme coin rundowns and have gotten quite a little rowdy over the last month, 6 weeks, with some absolute fun, some winners. So I biasly, I know where you are, but tell the people. What are you seeing in the altcoin meme coin market?
Yeah, sure. Some of these meme coins are absolutely fire right now, popping off in ways that we just dream about when we think about meme coins and just huge gains. Of course, when we have a pullback in some of the majors, the Bitcoins, the Ethereums of the world, you can see a little bit tighter pullback in these meme coins. But I'm if we have a true alt season, which I'm a huge believer in, I think that's coming very soon. Love to hear what Rohit's saying about it. I think meme coins are going to fire hard. And I do have some of my favorites out there, and I think they're going to do very well.
Yeah, and I think basically what Rohit touched on is kind of Ethereum leads the way, and that's the perfect transition into the next phase of our discussion. Ethereum basically has definitely had the leadership on a larger scale, and just the momentum has been crazy. And we've covered it on the rundown, so this might be a little repetitive if you listen to week to week. We've been, you know, huge proponents of tracking this Ethereum trade. We've been talking about it. We've been charting it. And then we've even brought in these Ethereum treasury companies, which have been absolutely going, you know, bananas. And so for those who are new, kind of just to give them a little bit of a flavor, I do have a couple clips here. So it's podcast favorite Tom Lee, who again is kind of he's now the Michael Saylor, if you will, the Michael Saylor of the Ethereum treasury strategy. So I have two clips here. I'm going to play about a minute or so of this one and then a second one. This one, he's talking about kind of an end of year price target and why he's bullish on BNMR. So let's check that one out first. Tease you up, and I'm going to share a second 30-minute clip here. So that tees you up on his thesis, right? Ethereum, the merging of TradFi and DeFi and using stable coins. He's a big believer in it. And, you know, he's thrown out a ton of price targets, honestly, over the last 2 months. They've ranged from 7,500 to 10K ETH by the end of the year. And this was the most bullish thing I could find and pull. So it's the last 30-second clip where he discusses the possibility of Ethereum flipping Bitcoin. And it's really just one of those things that you got to hear. So obviously that's a little aged. We've blown through that 4,000 as we continue upwards. And like I said, his price targets have gone from 75 to 10K. Guys, ETH flipping Bitcoin, I don't necessarily need the hot take on that. The one thing I will point out is, if you see that the guy is in the office and you're on a Zoom with him and you can see the office in the back left, and then you also see that that same man working hard has a bed in the right corner of his office, I mean, you at least got to take what he says, you know, a little bit seriously, because he's most certainly putting in the hours.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think anyone who's a reoccurring member of the rundowns, you know that me and Tivo, we like Tom Lee. I definitely look up to him. I think he's an incredibly knowledgeable and obviously successful individual. So, you know, maybe we're a little bit biased. But yeah, I mean, if you have a bed in your office, I don't even have a bed in my office, you know, right? You know, we all work from home and we don't even technically have a bed in our office, but it's a whole new kind of commitment.
Yeah, and there's all those clips. I've said it before, but, you know, back when Bitcoin was 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, there's clips on him on national television, on all the business channels, basically saying, hey, we should we should be putting 1% of our portfolios in Bitcoin. And he would get basically, I don't even know, laughed at was the right words. There were people that would try to lecture him and tell him that, you know, he wasn't being safe. He was leading down the people of a wrong path and people shouldn't listen to him and he's crazy. It was more than just being laughed at. It was scrutinized. He was truly scrutinized. And he threw out that $100,000 price target back then. So, you know, again, the vindication of being right, but also when somebody has that type of success, you don't need to follow them blindly. I don't think any of us follow any one person blindly. That's why at Crypt Nation, we have a whole entire team because we're getting, you know, all of our, you know, research and stuff and conversations and guidance from each other and working together as a unit. And I think that's, you know, one of the benefits to being a part of Crypt Nation. But the you got to at least listen to him. He deserves to be listened to.
Sign me up for that 100x on Ethereum.
Yeah, I think anybody starting to lean? Are you leaning for an ETH Bitcoin flip, or is it too early for those discussions for you?
That might be a little aggressive, but you know, I have exposure to both, so I wouldn't be upset if that happened. When we talk about Bitcoin and Ethereum, I'm a little bit Bitcoin biased, but I love me some Ethereum for a lot of different reasons, with their correlation with NFTs and meme coins, and obviously have exposure to both. It wouldn't surprise me, especially with all the stablecoin legislation we have right now and a lot of, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire.
Yeah. And then Rohit, just any thoughts on Ethereum? Are you bullish on kind of the Ethereum inflows? The Ethereum ETF inflows? You know, what's your thought behind, obviously it's narrative driven, but also, you know, the fundamentals of it?
Yeah, like if you look at the supply and demand, the ETH ETFs and the public treasury companies already own 8% of the total Ethereum supply, which is kind of crazy to think about.
Did you say 8%?
Yeah, 8% is what the number I saw.
Holy cow.
And then kind of Bitminer immersion, if they do have raise another $20 billion, that by itself is like, just by itself, that one raise by one company is 2.5% of the ETH supply. So it's like, to the extent there's not a ton of supply being offered and like there's pretty strong demand, like that you it's not hard to imagine what that will do to the price. Yeah.
So then the next thing kind of I wanted to transition before we dive into Brian's topics was the narrative around it, right? Obviously Ethereum has the narrative. It's been, you know, the treasury companies and the price action. But not too long ago, if we go back to, you know, the end of the year of 24 and then obviously January, it felt like Solana kind of had that same narrative. There was the wild meme coin craze. We had Fartcoin. We had Dave Portnoy doing Greed 1, Greed 2, Greed 3, all that fun stuff, which kind of, you know, got Solana on its horse. And Solana has these ETFs that are in the pipeline as well. I'm going to pull this up from friend of the program, James Safard. He said, you know, all these Ethereum ETFs got delays to, I guess this was end of day yesterday, but he basically said he suspects we won't see too many more of these. And this is our Bloomberg intelligence guy. He's been on our podcast before. You know, when James says these things, he basically feels like these are close to getting pushed through. So my kind of question to the group that I'd love to kick around, and there's no right answer, Brendan, let's start with you, is kind of that narrative flip that we saw from Solana now to Ethereum. Ethereum's the bell of the ball, if you will. You know, once these Solana ETFs get pushed, you know, what are your thoughts on trying to figure out the fundamentals of plus the narrative around kind of these two, if you will, call them blue chip altcoins? What are your thoughts around it?
Yeah, you know, we've seen this back and forth between Solana and Ethereum for about a year or two now. And it's interesting because Solana has certainly been able to increase its market share. Towards the end of last year, start of this year, Solana was everything. It's all people wanted to talk about. It was all the hype. It hit the new all-time high well before Ethereum did. And there's a lot of attention. In fact, you know, even in the current day, when you look at where Solana is and what it's doing and what Ethereum is doing, they really are almost specializing in two different things for two different markets. And I think that there's a very high likelihood that the two coexist together. When you look at Solana, people always like to tout, oh, they have more activity. They're doing more transactions there every day. They see more wallet activity, this and that. And then you go and you look at Ethereum and you can say, well, Ethereum has more developers. They have better developer stuff. You could go and say, hey, they have a higher TVL over at Ethereum. And you can say some of these other things. You can say, hey, it's more decentralized. And you can talk about its nodes and other things like that, right? And so when it comes to Solana, you know, I'd say, hey, like when it comes to memes, things that are a little bit more personal, things that are more retail focused, even when it comes to DePIN, Solana kind of takes the win. You know, they're definitely more scalable too. And when it comes to Ethereum, I think that they favor institutional stuff a little bit more. They are a little bit more reputable and they have a lot of the DeFi and RWA and tokenization market share in that side of things. And so we've seen this back and forth between the two. Now, all of a sudden, you know, there's all this news about Ethereum and it's way more hot than Solana is. But they're, I think they're both good and there's a place for both of these. And kind of just the natural stage of a market cycle is that you go from one thing to the next. And, you know, we'll probably have a point in time where all of a sudden everyone's talking about Solana over Ethereum. And then we're going to be talking about Bitcoin over both of them. And then we're going to be talking about the next thing over those. And it kind of goes full circle is what I'm trying to say. So we see a lot of people come out. They're excited. They have every reason to do so. But at least here on the program, you know, we're not maxis. We don't believe in just Bitcoin, just Ethereum, just Solana, just XRP. We think that, you know, the bulk of the crypto industry can and likely will succeed together, and they can serve different purposes, be used by different people, and so on and so forth.
Yeah, it's a great point. And then Rohit, just your thoughts on kind of the narratives and how you look at them.
Yeah, like I agree with what Brennan said. I think there's enough space for several L1s to have a lot of activity, especially with bridging and interoperability. Eventually, it's not going to matter what underlying chain you're on. I think consumers aren't, maybe it'll just all be abstracted away. Ideally, that would be the case. Because like when people use the internet now, they're not familiar with a lot of the underlying technology that's involved. And ideally, that would be the case even with Web3. Everything would just happen seamlessly under the hood. So yeah, I agree with Brennan. There's opportunity for several different L1s to see activity and have a strong ecosystems.
Yeah. And then totally, you know, and my final tie on everything is you see these narratives change, you know, every quarter, every couple months, you know, at least every half a year, somebody's becomes the bell of the ball. It could be a meme coin. It could be, you know, an L1, an L2, what, you know, it's just, and that's kind of the part of why we've been doing these weekly and now bi-weekly or sometimes 2 to 3 times a week, because the news flow and everything's changing so fast. We went from doing these once a week to now we can do them 2 or 3 times a week. And they're still coming out an hour, you know, long because there's so much news flow to consume. But speaking of under the hood there, Rohit, I was looking under the hood and I saw that this rock sold for a bunch of money. And then I was like, well, I got to see what Brian's talking about. Like, Brian, what do you, ETH rock going, you know, going for hundreds of thousands of dollars? What's going on with ETH rock?
Yeah, ETHROC is an Ethereum NFT launched in, I think, December of 2017, kind of an OG collection out there, and it sold for $600,000 today. So it feels pretty free if you ask me, anybody that's going to fire in $500,000 into an NFT. But you can see there can be some capital that flows into NFTs, especially some of these older, very OG collections. So this was a surprise to wake up to.
Yeah, and it basically just tees off the conversation that you're going to lead here as our, you know, momentum moneymaker. And guys, just to tee up Brian and Joe. Joe's not here today, but you know, these guys are literally in the trenches and they're digging up, they're looking, you know, underneath the hood, the stuff that, you know, the average person doesn't know about. The average person's probably not trading. They go and find these things. They find the narratives, they find the fundamentals, and these things rocket. I mean, you guys have had some unbelievable calls. And so basically we have a list of stuff that we're going through here. But Brian, you just tell me where you want to take it. And I'd love for you to lead your segment here. Do we want to start with Moonbirds?
Yeah, I think you guys did a rundown show recently and somebody was asking about Moonbirds and they've absolutely popped off. For a little bit of history behind Moonbirds was a Kevin Rose project, got bought by Yuga Labs, who are the Bored Ape people. And then it recently was acquired again by an individual named Spencer, a very prominent NFT trader. And he's really putting some, he's backing behind these NFTs. So these were well under an ETH in June, and they've run up all the way over 3 Ethereum. So over $12,000-$15,000. And we're seeing some action in some, not so much like newer mints every single day, but some of these OG Ethereum NFTs out there. And what's really interesting is Ethereum goes up. These NFTs can go up as well in the amount of Ethereum. So it's almost a double whammy. So you're getting price action in the price of Ethereum appreciating. And then these NFTs are also going up as well. So whoever asked about Moonbirds, I'm a big fan. I got a little Moonbird portrait back there. One of my artist friends made for me. I'm a holder, so not financial advice. But they've been doing some big things. And they're trying to play the same playbook, if everyone knows, of Pudgy Penguins. Pudgy Penguins is one of the most prominent, well-known NFTs out there. And they had a token drop recently, a few months back, where actually one big Pudgy got, if you held their NFT, got you about $80,000 worth of their Pengu token. And a lot of people ask, well, how's that possible? Well, we've seen some big news out there. TiVo, maybe pull up the ETF filing that we had Pengu and Pudgy Penguins get filed by Canary Capital here for a possible ETF. So it'd be the first of its kind where meme coin NFTs are actually connected to an ETF.
Yeah, and then just a note for all the viewers, we actually, you know, if you haven't checked out the podcast, make sure you check out Crypto 101 Podcast. You can check it out on the YouTube. Again, that bottom right is where you can subscribe. So please click that and subscribe. But also, if you want to listen to the audio version, we have it on Spotify, Apple, and recently, I believe last week, we just put out an episode with the CEO of Canary Capital that Bryce and Brendan did. And it was fascinating. Obviously, a larger conversation, about 45. But I'd say a solid 15 to 20 of that was about specifically Pengu, the ETF, and just a deep dive onto kind of Pudgy Penguins and why, you know, the CEO of Canary Capital is, you know, more bullish on them than just a, you know, picture or digital art of a penguin. I mean, that guy went into some deep dive on IP and, you know, why he literally chose to make sure the push for this ETF was going. It was really a fascinating conversation to check out. You know, I thought of you the whole time, Brian. I was like, God, man, we went from Brian and Joe to, you know, pitching Pudgy Penguin months ago to now there's an ETF of this thing. It's like, what a crazy ride.
Yeah, I mean, Pengu's evolved into a meme coin 2.0, to be honest with you. It's not just a meme coin anymore. It's an identity. They have major partnerships out there. They're filing ETFs. They're ringing the NASDAQ bell. They even have an upcoming blockchain called Abstract Blockchain. Releasing, well, the blockchain's out there, so you can do a lot of different farming. You can explore that blockchain, and it's done very, very well with attracting new people to the space. But one very interesting thing about it is that their TGE, their token generation event, is actually coming up in Q4, so it's starting to pick up a lot of steam. There's a lot of meme coins that Joe and I talk about every single week within our community that we really like on Abstract. Because as you trade meme coins on that platform, you actually earn something called XP, which will get you rewards for their token generation event. So really interesting stuff coming out there. And then I want to jump over and I want to talk a little bit about Rekt Coin. We've talked about Rekt quite a bit. TiVo, you're a big Rekt fan. Joe's a big Rekt fan. We called that $15, $20 million market cap in our community months ago, and now trading about $450 million market cap. As you can see, kind of the famous flywheel. So it's not just a meme coin. It was an NFT that developed, evolved into a meme coin, and now it's Rekt Brands, where they're selling actual drinks in 7-Elevens. The goal is to sell 1 million drinks this calendar year, and they're well on their way. I think they're over 700,000 sold.
Yeah, I remember kind of the whole journey of the Rekt. You guys brought it on. I remember you guys ordered the drinks, and Joe was super excited about getting the drinks. And it was, you know, a call inside your community, and then just, you know, look, you know, six weeks later, and then boom, like all-time highs, and it keeps going. They keep announcing partnerships, right? I saw they announced a partnership with Base and the Coinbase team for more beverages. And it's kind of that same thesis. I think the flywheel is a little bit different, I guess, than the Pudgy Penguins. But like, you're basically kind of getting away. Like you said, there's a new genesis of meme coins, where these caterpillars have cocooned and now are turning into these beautiful butterflies, where these I don't even know what they're not necessarily companies. Maybe they are, but like these coins, these projects are reinvesting back into themselves, back into the holders. Like, I don't know if anybody's ever listened to Luca Netz, the guy that started Pudgy Penguins, but you catch one of his interviews. I mean, it's hard to not root for the project because he just kind of reminds me of, I think we talked about this before. I don't know if anybody follows the Savannah Bananas, but he reminds me of like Yellow Tux Jesse. It's like, it's not about the business. It's about the holders and the people in the community. And I feel like Luca Netz has that vibe as well, along with, it seems, the rec team just kind of, you know, building something. They're trying to build something instead of these, you know, the greed ones of the greed twos of what Dave Portnoy was doing, which are just like quick flips. I mean, there's something, you know, tangible behind it, which is awesome.
And they're rewarding their community in so many different ways. If you actually buy a case of their rec drinks, you get their rec token, and you can earn hundreds of dollars for every case of rec drinks you purchase.
Yeah, that's awesome. And then what was the, basically before we go to your to beer call there, this Anime Azuki, I guess it's kind of the same thing where it's not just meme coiners anymore, like TradFi's diving into this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, that was really interesting. Anime is the token that's connected to the Azuki NFTs, and they made a very interesting announcement just the other day where a NASDAQ-listed digital media company is actually buying $2.5 million worth of their token. They're going to build out their IP. They're connected to gaming companies. So you can just see they're trying to do what Wrecked, what Pudgy Penguins has done in the past. So I thought that was a really interesting call out to bring to the show for everyone. It's not financial advice to go out there and buy this anime token. They have a long way to go to become the next Pengu. But you can see this is kind of the new meta we're seeing with these meme coins and with a lot of these NFT companies.
Yeah, and it's all fascinating. That's kind of why, you know, we go to you and Joe for those specific things. So give us, I know we always kind of ask to check back, and, you know, Pengu we've tracked and Wreck Drinks we've tracked, but you brought us today something that you made a call of recently that kind of came to fruition.
Yeah, this is just a token that I'm a big fan of. Just full disclosure, I do own some of this token. It's called Tibber. It's connected to Ribbit Capital, or the actual founder of Ribbit Capital, or it was speculated when we made the call, it was speculated to be connected to him. And it's Mickey Malky. He's the founder. This is a venture capital firm, $12 billion powerhouse that's backed over 30 different crypto unicorn companies, including Coinbase. And it's just a really interesting token, if you ask me. As you can tell, it's Ribbit Capital. Tibber is Ribbit backwards. But this was a stealth launch in January. It's absolutely popped off. I wouldn't even know how to approach doing TA on this chart because it feels like it's just up only. Really impressive stuff.
And when did you give the call? You said May?
In May. It was about $70 million market cap. And there was rumblings, you know, kind of in the trenches that this was connected to Mickey Malka, who was the founder, that was connected to Ribbit Capital. You look at the title, it's Ribbit backwards, but no actual confirmation of this. And something that's really interesting is it's actually connected to an AI agent as well. We love AI in this world. And that AI agent actually went out on its own and bought a CryptoPunk. CryptoPunks hit over $200,000 recently, but the AI agent went out and purchased its own CryptoPunk, wanted to create its own digital identity. And that's exactly what it did. So it's a really unique project. Wanted to call it out. This is kind of the type of projects we try to, you know, look into on Momentum Moneymakers that have, you know, you just want to connect the dots and hope for the best.
No, it was a great call. And speaking of connecting the dots, credit to me for taking Brendan's TA course, because look at me, I kind of know what I'm doing. Again, this isn't an exact date, but if we use the measurement tool, Brendan, which you taught me, and we drag it up to the top here, I mean, we're talking about a, you know, 530% gain since mid-May there, Brian. So that's the type of stuff that Brian and Joe are doing in their community. And again, same thing, if you're interested in learning more about Brian and Joe and getting the calls like he just showed you early, if you guys go down in the description and you click show more, again, I got a couple links for you. This one is the 123, the We got one, two, three, the fourth, the third link. One, two, three. Third link down there. We've got the get immediate access to the meme coin portfolio and trade alerts. It's just $1. It's basically a dollar trial if you're interested in checking out Brian and Joe and getting more info on how you can get those type of calls and be a part of that community. It is super fun. But I guess transitioning on, we do have Rohit. So Rohit, your section has, we saved the best for last because literally it was the number one thing in the chat box. People wanted cycles. They want to know where we are. Where are we, Rohit? Where are we going? So I'm going to hand you off the reins. I'm your producer. You tell me when you want me to pull up your charts or if you want to do kind of an introduction to talking about cycles, and then we can kind of open it up to the group and discuss.
Yeah, so typically with cycles, at least historically, like if you look at the past three cycles, say, there've been four stages. Like usually there's like 1 year of a sharp bear market downturn. There's a year of going essentially sideways, another third year of going up a bit, and then kind of a much more like pitched, feverish bull market in the fourth year. And there's no guarantee that things repeat exactly like that, but my sense is that template will still roughly apply. So it's interesting because like even in that fourth stage where you have a very strong kind of feverish bull market, there's usually a certain sequence of assets that rise most strongly. So usually Bitcoin leads the way initially, and then after that, ETH takes over. After that, it's usually large cap tokens. And then finally, like in the most fevered stage, it's like small mid cap tokens. And then usually there's like a bear market after that. So yeah, like if you bring up some of the visuals, we could even look at this just shows you like the red is like the bear market. You can see the blue sections are the essentially sideways up a bit. The green, they're calling it the growth phase, is up gently, and then you have like a bubble or a very strong bull market. And my sense is we're in that final phase now. Usually 6 to 18 months, like that 1 year period after a Bitcoin halving, is the strongest period of a bull market. So we're in that now. Typically, if this were to hold, like the peak would be later this year. It's always hard to put like a precise date on it, but say in past cycles, it's usually been November, December. And then usually altcoins have peaked about a month after Bitcoin did. If you go down just one more, yeah, you can see we're lagging a little bit this time, but we're kind of set to catch up. And as Bitcoin matures as an asset class, there's not going to be, of course, quite as much upside, and there's going to be less volatility. So one thing that threw off this cycle was the Bitcoin ETF. It led to a high in Bitcoin like much earlier than is usual. So like, I might have said already, but that there's that saying, history doesn't repeat, but it rhymes. So like, you could get like a rough 4 year cycle, but it is also possible like, with Bitcoin in particular that it floats up a bit more, that the bear market when it comes is much shallower just because there's so much institutional capital pouring in now. Let's see what the next visual is. Oh yeah, the other thing is, apart from the cycles, it's maybe been a happy coincidence, but during the strongest part of the bull markets in the past, it's usually coincided with a significant increase in the M2 money supply globally. So I think basically with the M2 money supply, if you shift it 3 months over, there's almost a 0.7 correlation between Bitcoin's price and that global supplies. You can see where that would put Bitcoin. I think that's that. What would that be? Probably like 170,000-ish since the log graph, maybe a little bit more. Yeah, so that's pretty bullish. But more than inflation, Bitcoin seems to be most correlated with the money supply.
Yeah, we've covered the money supply. I know Brendan and I have covered it for definitely the last 6 weeks. And we always say, like, you know, this is something that a lot of people, especially on the Twitter timeline, a lot of people love it and call for it as soon as they see it. And a lot of people think it's fugazi, and But honestly, the M2 bulls have been quite right, as this chart shows.
Yeah, because I think all assets are sensitive to liquidity, but crypto especially is.
Awesome. And then we got one more here. Is this kind of like a top signal of crypto apps? Is that where this is going when you see the apps go up?
Yeah. So the green line tracks like where Coinbase's app is ranked in the App Store. And typically when the market peaks, it's the number one app. I think currently in that chart, it's 15. We didn't include Robinhood's, but usually Robinhood's is second. I think it's 17 now. So it's like, things are moving in the right direction, though we haven't gotten to that peak frenzy. And then the last chart at the bottom is the Google search popularity. So usually when Bitcoin tops, it's somewhere between 50 and 100 in terms of like maximum search popularity. And we haven't quite gotten there yet either. So like those are all like just completely different signals of where we might be in the cycle, where we're heading. And also kind of metrics to track for potentially when we are near or at a top.
Awesome. Yeah. And this is all stuff that kind of goes into your research and you bringing into the community and the VIP coaching calls and the newsletters. And so as we kind of enter the last segment, everybody that's tuning in, man, we still got over 100 people live. That's awesome. We're going to do some questions. So if you guys want to toss some questions into the side chat there on the right, we'll get to a couple of them before we sign off. And then obviously, if you enjoyed that, enjoyed Rohit's charts and his research, again, we kind of have the Crypt Nation community, and I put a link down there if it's something you guys want to check out. So you can kind of get that weekly touch base with the team, get the research, get the newsletter, maybe look into joining our coaching calls where you get access to these guys, you know, weekly, and kind of, again, take that next step, that next level to your crypto journey. Again, if you go down in the description, I got some links there. I made sure that this one was the first link on top. Get immediate access to the crypto portfolio for just $1, and you're going to learn more about joining the community. So appreciate you guys. Again, drop some questions in there as we look to end this. But Brendan, thoughts on the cycle, thoughts on where we are before we answer some questions?
Yeah, well, I saw one question come in and it said, we think that a lot of the information that we talked about, the adoption, all the positives, do we think that that can extend the cycle? Because, you know, as we chatted about, you know, we typically see these top out around a year, year and a half after the halving event. And I just wanted to echo in and kind of come in and talk about this a little bit more and say, I do think it has the potential to, right? And I'm hesitant to say this time's going to be different because of all this, because every single cycle, everyone's always said it's going to be different this time. And so far it hasn't. I think if there's any time for it, I think the best case is this time, right? Because when you have sovereign wealth funds and countries and endowments and retirement funds and Fortune 500 companies and the ETFs and banks, and you have these treasuries and all these, and on top of that, you have retail. When you have all of that happening, I think it does make the strongest argument for things to extend in a bullish way and see more upside. The other thing that I think a lot of people have looked over, and I should have pulled up this information for us, but I think that we have the potential to extend because the supply shock is real. And if you go and you look at the Ethereum and Bitcoin reserves on exchanges, they've been in free fall for a while. And what that means is that the supply of Bitcoin and Ethereum, specifically on exchanges and even in the OTC markets, I've seen charts of that, they're dwindling, like they're drying up. And so there's less and less that are available and that are going to be available. And there's increasing demand, as we've seen. I mean, last month, for instance, I think there was over $5 billion in net inflows. We had a single day of the Ethereum ETFs, which did over $1 billion in inflows. It was the highest that it's ever seen. And so there's very clearly more demand and there's increasingly less supply. And the thing about Ethereum, and I guess the part that makes it a little bit different from Bitcoin supply squeeze, is, you know, Bitcoin has the halving, which is making it increasingly harder to mine. Ethereum has a little bit of a different consensus mechanism. And for a long time, for a period of years, Ethereum was deflationary. And the more activity and the more attention that it sees, the more is being burned through one of their protocol updates. And so the more activity, and I haven't looked at this data point lately, but you know, the more activity that we get on Ethereum, the more deflationary it will becomes. And at one point, I think it was deflating at around like 1.5%, almost 2% a year, which is a crazy thing to think about on top of the supply issues, on top of the demand increases, on top of a lot of this stuff. So, you know, it's a really long answer, Tivo, but I think that if there's any argument to say, like, can the cycle extend and stuff, I think the answer there is like, yeah, there's a pretty, I would say a pretty good argument. Now, I'm not going to come in here and say, oh, well, for certain, this time's obviously different. I'm hesitant to do that, I think, for obvious reasons. But I think there's a really compelling argument that can be made to say that, hey, things can maybe not necessarily be entirely different, because I think the halving will always play some sort of role in Bitcoin and in all of crypto. But I think there's a pretty compelling argument to be made that maybe we do run longer this time around.
Yeah, and I think the extension of kind of what, building on what you just said, is like, do you really, even if it is a bear market and the gains slow down, like, you really want to be selling everything during the most pro crypto administration ever? And then that kind of leads you into the next political cycle a couple years from now, right? Because it's like, even though the president's in there for 4 years, you start campaigning a year and a half, a year before. So like, we're really, it sounds crazy because that last one was just almost too much for people. But, you know, 2 years from now, we're going to start that cycle again. And like, I think if anything, crypto's kind of been a bipartisan issue. Like, I know Democrat Ro Khanna, he's a great one, who has been, you know, huge for digital assets. And it is a bipartisan issue for the most part. So it could be kind of another catalyst 2-3 years from now of just more crypto kind of legislation going forward for the next round of senators, congressmen, and then I guess an eventual president of the United States. So it's just super, super bullish to not want to fade this narrative right now. I got a fun one from Ryan, guys. Ryan asked, like, what do you think of Pi Network? So I actually have a funny story. Back when I was at Barstool, during, you know, 2021, like when everything was going crazy, everybody like downloaded Pi Network and wanted to like get you in their Pi Network, and then you hit the button and all that stuff. And then funny enough, when I got here to Crypto 101, we actually brought on Pi Network and interviewed them. And to be quite honest, you know, nothing that got us super, super excited. It's kind of more of, I think in their words, it was like a social experiment more than, you know, a financial instrument or an investment. So if you're having fun doing Pi Network, that's great. But I personally wouldn't consider that a bag that I would be watching to go up, because I don't even think you can really sell it anywhere. It's basically just a social experiment. Anybody else have any funny topics on Pi?
I remember sending that out to friends like many years ago too, because I think it was like almost like a MLM thing. Like, it was like you got like part of rewards from the people you would send to, so you had like an incentive to invite them, and yeah. But I don't know if there's any real utility to the network.
Yeah. And all right, we'll wrap it up with this. So how long does altcoin season usually last, from James, our friend James Williams? Rohit, you wanna kick that around?
Yeah. So the rally in Bitcoin is usually about a year. In terms of that transition from Bitcoin, say, to Ethereum, I would need to look into it. I suspect probably about 6 to 8 months, because like, the transitions tend to happen pretty quickly towards the end, between like Ethereum to large cap tokens to small and mid cap. The most frenzied part of the markets tend to be the shortest, kind of. So that's worth keeping in mind when you're thinking about potentially taking some profits or just reallocating to Bitcoin or something more stable.
Awesome. And then Brian, you got a thought on how long altcoin season lasts, and just any final thoughts for everybody?
I hope it lasts a long time, everyone. I hope it lasts forever. No, I think an altcoin season lasts a few hundred days, actually. But I'm fired up for this altcoin season. I don't want to talk about the end until we get into the thick of it.
Yeah, I like it. And then, Brendan, how about yourself?
Yeah, you know, I think an interesting data point is that we've seen altcoin season get progressively longer and longer over the years. So in the different market cycles that we've looked at, it does tend to actually get a little bit longer, and it kind of feeds into this idea of, could we extend longer this time around? And I think it fuels this argument that that's a really, you know, likely possibility that we do see it extend a little bit more. So, you know, what is that? Is that through the end of this year? Personally, I think so. I don't really see the crypto market stopping through the end of the year. I think if you would have asked me this 4 years ago, I would have said, I don't know, you know, you got to stick to this stuff. Now I look at it, and I think all the data says from the charts, right? That's my specialty, is looking at the charts. All the data on the charts says that we're just not near that point yet. So it's either A, everything goes into 200% gear and we just skyrocket to where we need to be and the cycle ends on time, or B, we follow a normal pattern, a normal kind of movement cycle from here, and we just have an extended cycle. And that's what I'm leaning towards. So again, I'd say through the end of this year, I would be optimistic.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I'm going to take us out after over an hour and 10 minutes of live free content. Guys, what an episode. Thank you, Brendan. Thank you, Rohit. Thank you, Brian. You guys bring just your hard work and efforts over not just weeks, but months, and your true expertise. And, you know, you guys let me rant about what's going on in the news and X, and bringing you guys some tidbits there. But I really rely on you guys for making sure that I'm educated and can build and bring the best show that I can. Guys, if you enjoyed this, again, just a couple calls to action. Bottom right of the screen, you see our logo. Hit it. Please subscribe. If you're new here, we're doing content here every week on YouTube and the podcast. Give the video a thumbs up. And then again, if you're interested in learning more from anybody you saw today, go in the description, check out the links. With Rohit, you got the newsletter. With Brian and Joe, you've got Momentum Moneymakers and Meme Coins. And then, of course, with Brendan, just top-tier technical analysis. We really want to see you guys in the community so we can touch base with you literally daily. That's what those links are for if you really want to take your stuff to the next level. But other than that, what an episode. From what I see, guys, this did really well, and I think we're going to be doing more of these. But nonetheless, even if it's not the whole team, we're doing, you know, content weekly with awesome interviews of people in the space from the Crypto 101 podcast with Bryce and Brendan. And then we're doing rundowns with Brendan, Brian, Joe all the time. So again, we appreciate your time. Check out those links below before you leave. Stay bullish, my friends, and we'll see you all real soon. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.